The good lady certainly didn't hesitate to ring. She was at me again the next day, and I had to rush out to her cottage. Her message was the same as before. She wanted the wonderful injection that would make those pups pop out, and she wanted it right away. Mr. Broomfield hadn't messed about and wasted time like I had. And on the third and fourth and fifth mornings, she had me out at Marston examining the little bitch and reciting the same explanations. Things came to a head on the sixth day. In the room at Lilac Cottage, the dark eyes held a desperate light as they stared into mine. "I'm about at the end of my tether, young man. I tell you, I'll die if anything happens to this dog. I'll die, don't you understand?" "Of course I know how you feel about her, Mrs. Booby. Believe me, I fully understand." "Then why don't you do something?" she snapped. I dug my nails into my palms. "Look, I've told you. A pituitary injection works by contracting the muscular walls of the uterus, so it can only be given when labour has started and the cervix is open. If I find it is indicated, I will do it. But if I give this injection now, it could cause rupture of the uterus. It could cause death." I stopped because I fancied little bubbles were beginning to collect at the corners of my mouth. But I don't think she had listened to a word. She sunk her head in her hands. "All this time, I can't stand it!" I was wondering if I could stand much more of it myself. Bulging Yorkshire terriers had begun to prance through my dreams at night, and I greeted each new day with a silent prayer that the pups had arrived. I held my hand out to Cindy, and she crept, reluctantly, towards me. She was heartily sick of this strange man who came every day and squeezed her and stuck fingers into her, and she had submitted again with trembling limbs and frightened eyes to the indignity. "Mrs. Booby," I said, "are you absolutely sure that dog didn't have access to Cindy after the service date you gave me?" She sniffed. "You keep asking me that, and I've been thinking about it. Maybe he did come a week after, now I think on." "Well, that's it then." I spread out my hands. "She's held to the second mating, so she should be due tomorrow." "I would still far rather you would get it over with today like Mr. Broomfield did. It was just a little prick." "But Mrs. Booby, and let me tell you another thing, me name's not Booby." I clutched at the back of the chair. "It's not?" "No." "Well, what is it then?" "It's Dooley, Dooley." She looked very cross. "Right, right." I stumbled down the garden path and drove away. It was not a happy departure. Next morning I could hardly believe it when there was no call from Marston. Maybe all was well at last. But I turned cold when an urgent call to go to Lilac Cottage was passed on to one of the farms on my round. I was right at the far end of the practice area, and was in the middle of a tough carving, and it was well over 3 hours before I got out to the now familiar garden gate. The cottage door was open, and as I ventured up the path, a little brown missile hurtled out at me. It was Cindy, but a transformed Cindy, a snarling, barking little bundle of ferocity, and though I recoiled, she fastened her teeth in my trouser cuff and hung on grimly. I was hopping around on one leg, trying to shake off the growling little creature, when a peal of almost girlish laughter made me look round. Mrs. Dooley, vastly amused, was watching me from the doorway. "My word, she's different since she's had them pups. Just shows what a good little mother she is, guiding them like that." She gazed fondly at the tiny animal dangling from my ankle. "Had the pups?" "Aye. When they said you'd be a long time, I rang Mr. Farnan. He came right away, and do you know, he gave Cindy that injection I've wanted all along. And I tell you, he wasn't right out of garden gate before the pup started. She's had seven. Beauties, they are." "Ah, well, that's fine, Mrs. Dooley. Splendid." Siegfried had obviously felt a pup in the passage. I finally managed to rid myself of Cindy, and when her mistress lifted her up, I went into the kitchen to inspect the family. They certainly were grand pups, and I lifted the squawking little morsels one by one from their basket while their mother snarled from Mrs. Dooley's arms like a starving wolfhound. "They're lovely, Mrs. Dooley," I murmured. She looked at me pityingly. "I told you what to do, didn't I? But you wouldn't have it. It only needed a little prick. Oh, that Mr. Farnan's a lovely man. Just like Mr. Broomfield." This was a bit much. "But you must realise, Mrs. Dooley, he just happened to arrive at the right time. Now, if I had come..."
Now, young man, be fair. I'm not blaming you, but some people have had more experience. We all have to learn.
She sighed reminiscently.
It was just a little prick. Mr. Farnell will show you how to do it. I tell you, he wasn't right out at Garden Gate.
Enough is enough. I drew myself up to my full height. Mrs. Dooley.
Madam,
I said, frigidly. Let me repeat, once and for all.
Oh, hoity-toity, hoity-toity, don't get on your high horse with me,
she exclaimed.
We've managed very nicely without you, so don't complain.
Her expression became very severe.
And one more thing. Me name's not Mrs. Dooley.
My brain reeled for a moment. The world seemed to be crumbling about me. What did you say?
I said me name's not Mrs. Dooley.
It isn't.
No!
She lifted her left hand, and as I gazed at it dully, I realized it must have been all the mental stress which had prevented me from noticing the total absence of rings.
No!
She said.
It's Miss